from Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And Jesus answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we remain standing, please receive this passage, our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Our Lord's instruction: "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give to the dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bore out our ears and ready us, not just to hear, but to obey, to follow you, to receive your word, and to love one another. Lord, we pray this for the glory of your name and the health and beauty of your bride, the church. And we ask this through Jesus, the faithful one. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Our passage begins with what might very well be the most quoted verse in the Bible by just about anyone. Our passage begins with what might be also one of the most misunderstood and wrongly applied verses in the entire Bible. "Judge not that you be not judged." Judge not. These words are thrown all over the place, usually to silence someone who may disapprove of something. Hey, hey, judge not. What's odd is that a judgment has to be made to even utter these words and direct them to somebody else. To simply say these words, "judge not," is to make a judgment, is to make a determination that some judging is going on or getting ready to start. I'm going to judge that you need to stop judging. We are surrounded by judgment. Isn't that wonderful? Here, taste this. You need to see this. You really should read this book. Didn't she look lovely? Wasn't he a gentleman? Aren't they a fine couple? I wouldn't go there. I can't recommend that. I prefer my coffee this way. What's your favorite breakfast? We're surrounded by judgments. Our Lord can't be referring to those kinds of judgments. Furthermore, we offer judgments all the time. We make determinations. We are supposed to recognize and receive that which is righteous and holy and good. We are supposed to be able to recognize idols and evil and flee from them, not embrace them. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." We need to make a judgment. That's evil, I'm going to abhor it. That's good, I'm going to cling to it. 1 John chapter 4, we are instructed to test the spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, "Let the prophets speak, and let the rest pass judgment." Jesus himself even said in John chapter 7, "Judge with righteous judgment." The Lord has also appointed officers of the law. They make judgments as to whether or not you broke the law. You were speeding. You didn't come to a full stop. Our Lord has appointed magistrates, and some of them are actually called judges. They are supposed to judge. There are also those who are appointed over others. They are in charge of others. Officials, employers, a board of directors, they are supposed to make judgments. Employee probation, employee or company performance, those are reviews. They're to decide on direction for the organization. They're to, let's decide to open this branch or to close that division. Our Lord is not referring, when he says, "Judge not," he's not referring to those kinds of judgments. He's not referring to making righteous choices or pursuing righteousness. He is not prohibiting us from recognizing good and evil. What is going on? Instead, our Lord is here referring to the loveless hypocrisy that tears down one another. Our Lord strikes at the pride-filled pickiness that is constantly pecking and picking and poking at the failures and the foibles of those closest to you. Our Lord is condemning what J.C. Ryle called our fault-finding spirit. This is what Ryle said. Our Lord is addressing our readiness to blame others for trifling offenses or matters of indifference. It's a habit of passing rash and hasty judgments, a disposition to magnify the errors and infirmities of our neighbors and to make the worst of them. That's what our Lord forbids. That's what Ryle said. Our Lord is calling out our gravitation toward a graceless criticism of the faults of those who are in the faith, especially our tendency to go after the smallest of faults, the specks and the spots. We target our brothers and sisters. That's what the passage says, verse 3. We are looking at the speck in our brother's eye. We're related. Verse 4, we say to our brother, "Here, let me remove that little thing, that tiny little thing in your eye. Let me get that for you, brother." This is a passage that shines the light of exposure upon us. We say that we're in the family of God, that we belong to the Heavenly Father. So then the light shines on our behavior. How do we treat others who belong to the Heavenly Father? John addresses this repeatedly in 1 John. He who says he is in the light, I'm in the light of the Heavenly Father, and yet hates his brother, he's still in the darkness. This passage is about our family relationships. But this passage also shines the light of exposure upon the context of Jesus' day then and there, upon the Jews who in the name of belonging to the covenant, of belonging to the Father, rejected Jesus. And they did so with false judgments. We shall see these two things today. So now let's continue in the Sermon on the Mount and receive our Lord's guidance. Our Lord begins with a command. A command. Don't do this. Don't judge. Judge not. Else you're going to be judged. We are not supposed to set ourselves up over others, making our word a law to everybody. Oh, and yes, this does pertain to specs. Do you see what they did? It's a command. Judge not. When we set our word up over others, we are turning ourselves into some kind of lord. A lord of sorts, some kind of God that is to be obeyed and honored as we issue our various edicts and distribute our decrees. We pass all kinds of unfair judgments upon others, and if we had a clear tally of them all, we would be undone. Here, just go ahead and make a list of them. We pass all kinds of unfair judgments upon one another. Let's start here. He didn't do a very good job. I don't like the way she did that. Pick, 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 peck, poke, pick. We pass all kinds of unfair judgments upon others. We expect them to do our bidding, and when they don't measure up, we let the hammer down. Do we want to be judged by the same standard that we impose upon others? Pick, pick, peck. Oh, in the name of the covenant. Do we want to be judged by the same standard? And by the way, this includes the standards that we actually say. Those standards that we actually mutter, and those standards that we're just thinking about. The Lord knows them all. The Lord knows what we say. The Lord knows what we mutter. The Lord knows what we're thinking. Can't believe that. This judging that our Lord is referring to here is actually a condemning of others. They aren't good enough. They didn't do it correctly. They're falling short of my glory and my glorious standard. James speaks of judging and condemning and puts them together in this way, James 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another, brothers, sisters. We're undone. We're undone. Did you say that about him, her, them? Don't do it. Don't speak evil of one another. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, note, put it together, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. I'm going to speak evil of God's law. I'm going to judge God's law because my law is sufficient. I'm going to speak evil of them. This judging of one another is a despising of others. In our epistle reading today from Romans 14, we heard these words. Why do you judge your brother? We're convinced, you know. See their diet? See what they do on a given day? We forget that, you know, each one of us is going to live for the Lord. We're going to die for the Lord. And that's a passage about brothers and sisters in the church. Why do you judge your brother? Romans 14:10. Or why do you despise or show contempt for your brother? Do you not show mercy? James 2:12 says that if you don't show mercy, no mercy will be shown to you. Can't mean that. In Luke chapter 6, a parallel passage to this here in Matthew 7, our Lord speaks of our love for others, our mercy giving to others, and then says, don't judge. They're all connected. When we're so busy judging, it's because we're not busy loving. And in this, our Lord is saying this, you are treating others the way you are asking to be treated. Oh, by the way, it was the same in the Lord's Prayer with the forgiveness, with grace giving. If we do not forgive, Jesus says, we are saying, don't forgive me. We're saying to the Lord, I want you to forgive me in the way that I forgive others. So if we are ripe with judgment, if we are loaded down with judgment, talking about that picky in the family, if we're ripe and loaded down with judgment, it will come out of our pores, and we are asking for the same to be done to us. So that's the command. Don't judge. Then in verse 2, our Lord gives a warning. Here's the warning. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Our Lord is referring to our words and our weights and measures. Our words, including those we're thinking. He's referring to our declarations, our determinations, as well as our measuring devices. We think, oh, no. Really? With what judgment you use, with the words you declare, with the thoughts you're holding, you're going to get that. And with the measuring cups and bowls that you use, the measuring devices you use, you can expect that same measurement to come back to you. Measuring devices. Yeah, I know what they did. They did it again. They did it again. And our Lord is saying, go ahead. What measuring device do you use? Here's a ruler, 12 inches. Wait a minute. Here's a 2 foot. Some people here don't even know what a yardstick is. I brought one. Yardstick. Yeah, that's got to keep my brother and sister that far away from me. Then we might even become more extreme. What's the measurement you're going to use? That much. Go. Keep going. Our Lord gives a command and then He gives a warning. Those who are most critical should expect the most criticism. Those who judge the most can expect the most judgment. So, question, how has the Lord treated you? How has the Lord treated you? Matthew Henry says it well. What would become of us, he asks, if God should be as exact and severe in judging us as we are in judging our brethren, if He should weigh us in the same balance, what would become of us? And we think, well, I've got to fix that. I've got to fix it now. Job asked it well. What shall I do when God rises up? When He punishes, how shall I answer Him? It's a warning. John Calvin said this, what we're doing when we pick and pick and pick and we become exacting and we become censors of one another, not knowing what they're going through, not knowing, because we haven't taken the time to come alongside of them, but we pick and poke. And John Calvin says when we do this, we deliberately provoke God to become our avenger. avenge me, to treat me in the same manner. Again, remember, this is about our snarky, petty, picky censures of others, our value judgments. You're not worth much. So verse 3, our Lord asks this question. Why do you look at the speck, that little particle in your brother's eye, but you don't even see the plank or the beam that's in your own eye? Jesus does not deny that specks happen. Jesus does not deny that specks may be present in the eyes of our brothers and sisters. He's not addressing that here. What he's doing is he's pointing to the hypocrisy, to the blindness that misses. It cannot even see one's own problems. You think you see a bit of sawdust in their eye? Just a bit. Where'd the sawdust come from? From wood being chopped up. And what's in your eye? A beam, a plank, a rafter? How many times must we multiply that piece of sawdust to get to even a portion of that rafter coming out of your eye socket? We want to use tweezers. Let me get that. I'm going to use some tweezers here to get that little part. When what's needed on our own is a crane. Similarly, in Matthew 23, there's this tragic humor to this. It's a tragic humor. In Matthew 23, verse 24, Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, blind guys, you're blind. You're trying to lead people, but you're blind guys. We're going to go over here. You can't see. You know what you're doing? You're straining out a gnat and you're swallowing a camel. You're having a cup of tea? Gnat. Got to get that thing out. Meanwhile, you're gulping down a camel. It's not even possible. You're not seeing clearly. You're actually blind. You know, we see how this is all about love. I'm going to love you so much. I'm going to take care of things here. I don't even know everything going on in my life. I certainly don't know everything going on in your life. But what happens in the relationship and the household of God, we start making these judgments. We're actually blind to our own sin or sins. This is why Jesus asks this question, verse 4. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove this speck from your eye. I'm going to take care of that. To attempt to deal with smaller and real sins of others without dealing with your own, Jesus calls that hypocrisy. Quit playing the game. Verse 5, he starts, hypocrite. Hypocrite, first, do this first, right at the beginning, right out of the chute. First thing you need to do is to remove the plank or the beam or the rafter from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There are real concerns. There are real specks that show up in eyes. These are not good, and our Lord isn't going, great, we're all into specks. Let the specks stay. They're supposed to be dealt with. They are supposed to be removed. It is possible, and humility knows this, it is possible that just as someone may not know that they have a rafter in their own eye, someone may not know that they have a speck in their eye. Loving, caring relationships point these out. This is addressed elsewhere in the Scriptures, to how to go about it. Our Lord is causing us to pause. Talk about the family relationships. Let's start here. James 5:20. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We're supposed to be involved. We're supposed to deal with specks. And in that case, we're dealing with a soul issue. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. However, not everyone is the right person to help others. Or you may not be the right person at this time. It may not be the right person. It may not be the right time. You may not even be going. You can certainly never go about it in the wrong way. While we are to care for others and desire that they do not have specks in their eyes, we need to be sure that we're the right person for the job. We are not the right person for the job if we have larger and similar sins going on. That's tough because the beam renders us blind. I often don't see it. There are men and women in this congregation who have gone to others and have said, you know what, you see something in my life, I want you to let me know. May have a beam. Maybe blocking. The beam is blocking things. Can't see. Can't get her. Can't see. That's humility. But if you're not there, you're not going to go to someone else. You've got a larger or similar sin going on. You know what? You got a real problem with this. So do I. I'm going to tell you what I'm not doing about it. No. You're not the right person if you do not think that your sins are all that bad. You're not the right person if you are quick to quarrel, if you are quick to pick. I got to get after that. I got to get after it like a chicken on a June bug. I got to get after that right away. You're not the right person. What if you have an eagerness to look into the faults of others? Oh, yeah. Ooh. Not the right person. So now we come to verse 6. We've seen our Lord's command. We've seen His warning. We've seen His instruction. He's pointing out what is the right way to love one another and the hypocritical way to deal with others. Now we come to this interesting verse, verse 6. And it's explained in so many different ways. And this particular verse, verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. This verse is used in so many different, to address so many different subjects. Sometimes wonder. One thing that needs to be stated here is we can't even recognize a dog or a swine without making a judgment. We can't even recognize what is holy or what is a pearl without making a judgment. But what is going on here, and how does it fit with what our Lord is teaching here? I'm not completely sure. I'm going to offer what I can on this particular passage. So whatever we say about this verse, whatever we think it is saying, it's important to keep in mind that it should fit in with the flow of what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about this and then smack dab in the middle says, oh, by the way, this. He speaks of giving that which is holy to the dogs and casting pearls to the pigs. Dogs usually live outside. They are scrap eaters. Swine were unclean animals outside the covenant, filthy and unwelcome. Dogs and swine. There is in this a reference to the outsiders, to the Gentiles, to the nations here. It's a reference to those who are outside the covenant, unwelcome in and with the promises of God. How does this fit in with the context? We'll see. But what this is, in brief, is this is a giving of the holy to the unholy. It's giving of the holy to the outsiders. It's giving the valuable to the filthy, to the unwelcome, to those who are outside of the covenant. So what does this mean? Remember, this passage has to do with the life of Christ, and it also has to do with the life of the Christian. This passage has to do with the life of Christ and the life of the Christian. First, the life of Christ. This giving the holy to the outsiders and the pearl of value to the unwelcome is precisely what happened to Jesus. His words must first of all be understood in their proper context. Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. They cast away the Holy One to the outsiders. They threw the pearl of great price to the Gentiles. Jesus was handed over to the Romans to be crucified, and this was done under the banner and in the name of the covenant. You are not worthy. That's a massive judgment. Jesus is warning about false judgments, and that is ultimately what they did to one who bore the same name. That's what this passage has to do with the life of Christ. Now, what about the life of the Christian? What does judgment do? What do our judgments of one another do? When we are excruciatingly precise in the criticism of our brothers and sisters, what are we actually doing? What we're not doing is we're not loving them. What are we doing? We are being harsh. We are rejecting them. We are ousting them. We are sending them away, saying they are not worth much according to our valuation. We are sending them to the outsiders. Brother. Yeah, right. It's a thought that goes on. How has the Lord treated us? How does he treat the family? Let's conclude. This critical, judgmental spirit and practice can show up in all kinds of places. When we are not humble, we will take this out on others. We are quick to blame, ready to be harsh with our children. When they do not behave the way we want with the family. They didn't do what I... How many times have I told you? You know better than that. And we become unloving and harsh and critical. Humility would have us look in the mirror. How has our Lord treated me? Well, we all fail here. We all fall short of our God's glory. What about when we're not humble with our fellow workers, our bosses, our spouse, our employees, people on the road? They just don't get it, and we are ready to put them in their place. But remember our Lord's passages, first of all, with regard to those we know, brothers and sisters. Oh, that's the second point. This is a specific beware here. This is a critical, carping way with those who are closest to us. It is our brother. It is our sister. It is someone we know and likely know well. Beware and be ready to start here. Last, this is essential for the health of the church. As with any relationship, marriage, brother and sister, friendship, it's so easy to find something wrong because there is much that is wrong. There are many specks in many eyes. There's sawdust and sand blowing all over the place. And the good news is, as we shall hear at the table, Jesus is the one who has received his bride with spots and blemishes and wrinkles. He knows, and he is the one taking care of our every spot and blemish and wrinkle. To God be the glory. Let us live to his glory, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ for the hope that we have. We praise you for his faithfulness. and for the Spirit given, attesting that we are your children. Enable us now to take your word and to live accordingly, to live according to the breath and the wind of your Holy Spirit as we speak to and of one another. We long for your glory in our lives and in this congregation. And we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and amen.